Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lots of disturbing stuff in the news lately, and this is the non-political stuff. German Catholic Church's sex abuse victims tops 3,600 people, the study finds. Swim coach sexually assaulted girl in Burnsville. That's right. A man was charged with one count of criminal sexual conduct in connection with a sexual relationship he had in the late 80s with a minor girl, said the Dakota County attorney. He was the coach of the Burnsville Swim Club. Benilde St. Margaret's tennis coach fired, charged with felony sex crimes. The elite boys tennis coach on Wednesday was fired after school administrators learned that he was charged with multiple felony child sex crimes in Wisconsin. A Duluth teacher charged with having sex with a 15-year-old. Middle school teacher charged with criminal sexual conduct for allegedly having sex with a former student at her home. And then, of course, the Larry Nassar disaster. A new lawsuit alleges that Michigan State University officials were made aware of a videotaped rape of an underage girl by Dr. Larry Nassar, but they covered it up and they told a coach who reported it to resign and stripped the victim of a scholarship. You remember Larry Nassar, of course, as the USA Gymnastics coach who was going to prison for a very, very long time for all of the sexual assaults he committed on the gymnasts. Here is Allie Raisman talking at his trial. One of his gymnasts, of course, one of the Olympic gold medal gymnasts.
There is no map that shows you the pathway to healing. Realizing that you are a survivor of sexual abuse is really hard to put into words. I cannot adequately capture the level of disgust I feel when I think about how this happened. Larry, you abused the power and trust I and so many others placed in you, and I am not sure I will ever come to terms with how horribly you manipulated and violated me.
These stories in the news, of course, were disgusted, absolutely horrified by them. But I'm a mother. I have three kids. They play sports. And Allie's words really ring true. We trust our coaches. Our kids trust our coaches. And our we as parents, we trust the coaches to not just do the right thing, not abuse our children, but to teach them and to guide them and to support them and be another trusted adult in the room. It got me thinking about what exactly is the vetting process for our coaches, high school, college, our town coaches. And that's the conversation I'd like to have. My phone number is 651-989-9226. If you're a coach, if you are someone who does the vetting process, if you work at a school, educate us. What does it take to become a swim coach, maybe for the town team? What does it take to become, I know what it takes to become a teacher, but what does it take to become, you know, the tennis coach at a school? Is the vetting process, as parents, do you feel that it is enough? Are you notified as to what the vetting process is? I, as a parent, maybe I haven't paid enough attention, but my kids have been playing sports a long time, you know, from way back in the days of when they were 4 and 5 on the soccer field or in the Little League field. I never even thought to ask. How are the coaches vetted? What questions are they asked? Are their background checks done? This year, my kids started cheerleading in the high school. I never thought to ask one word. I trusted. And maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I have my head in the sand thinking that if the school trusts them, that I should too. So I really would like to hear, if you've been through the process, if you're a coach, call me, 651-989-9226, and let me know. Do you think it's enough, the vetting process that we're going through? Do you think it should be more? As a parent, have you ever inquired? And then did you get a proper response? Like if I call my school systems and say, I'd like to hear the vetting process, would they even know and would they be able to tell me? I might actually try that as an exercise tomorrow out of curiosity. And look, I know my kids' coaches. I go to the games. I see them. I connect. We're on email. We have a relationship, a communication. But I'm pretty sure that Larry Nassar had communication with his victim's parents as well. This teacher was communicating with her victim's parents because they were in middle school. The elite boys tennis coach at Benilde was probably communicating with some of these kids who've been doing tennis and had tennis lessons forever, and their parents are very involved in their tennis education. So, look, as a parent, I want all of this to stop. The fact that they're in the news means we're doing something right, parents, teachers, kids out there. We're coming forward and we're shining the light. So I'm not discouraged that we're hearing about it and more in the news. It disgusts me. But I think that we're doing the right things by encouraging people to come forward so we can get some of these predators off of our kids' teams. Judy's in Delano. Judy, educate me, Judy. Educate me.
Well, one of the things is the cost to do a background, an actually good background, and hiring the right agency to do that. And after working in security for 35 years, you run up against the brick wall of cost in a lot of those organizations.
How much does it cost? How much does a simple background check cost?
Well, if you do a simple background check, they can be about $30 to $40, depending on how many states and how many counties they lived in.
Okay. Is that going to show me if they have any, like, sex crimes against them, if they've ever been in prison? I mean, I don't care about parking tickets.
It will show you in some states. Some states, sex crimes are not part of the criminal history if they are, you know, violence against women in the home and in marriage, that would be in the family courts, and those records are not available. And so you could see that you've got incest, but, you know, that would not be part of the records that you would see, and it certainly would be something that would be important to know.
I see.
The other thing is, I do believe that if you're going to have a parent in, if you're going to have a child in a program as a parent, I would want to audit some of those trainings and sit in on some of the coaching. And there's no reason why the school shouldn't let you.
Of course.
And if parents, you know, have that opportunity, I think that you'll, one, see children behave maybe a little better, but also I think that the coaches will have to behave a little bit better also.
I like that, you know, and hey, but let the coach, I'm watching. I'm going to pop in to every now and then on some of these practice sessions. So Judy, $35, you said you're in security. This is what you do professionally, security?
I did for 35 years, yes.
Okay, and I know you probably don't have these numbers off the top of your head, but I'm really glad you called in. So like $35 for a basic, but some of these big background checks, they're like, what, $150 or so?
At least, yes, yeah. Especially if you've got multi-states and because teachers, you know, have reciprocity.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, with some states, they can go back and forth to a number of schools and back and forth. So you're not going to pick that up. Most schools, though, only do the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension checks, which doesn't give you a deep, dark secret because a lot of the counties don't report up because it costs money and time to report up into those programs.
But they do, the schools are required to do a basic check.
Correct.
They are. Okay, so this and the schools absorb that cost?
The schools absorb that cost, or they, you know, put it out to the athletic programs.
Okay, and, all right, I understand that, and whatever money they raise, I guess, goes towards some of that. But, you know, you can't always catch everything. I know there are fail-safes in the system, or there are fails in the system. I get it.
But there are questions that you could ask when you're actually interviewing someone.
When you're interviewing a coach, you mean?
Exactly.
Hit me. Give me some.
Well, if you're going to be the one that's interviewing the coaches, you're looking at that application. I see that you were in one school for 3 months and another school for 2 months. And why was that? Why did you leave?
Okay.
You know, you're not, you know, you didn't finish out a school year. Why was that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those questions, you know, you can legitimately ask. Those things can, you know, bring out lots of information.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, people, I mean, teachers, I'm sure people who do, hopefully, who do this kind of interviewing on school boards and whatnot, hopefully their radar is up for something that's suspect.
I think they should have, you know, a higher level of radar and actually be trained on how to ask these questions.
A lot
of people that are asking them don't know how to do that.
And that costs money, too. I get it. I get it. But I'm glad to know that there's at least, at the very least, there is a background check of some of these coaches.
There has to be because they are managing children
And that has to be done.
Judy, I'm so glad you called in, and thank you for listening.
Okay, have a good day.
You got it. Jim in Lakeville, I see your call, but I got to hit the break. Let me do a couple commercials, Jim, and we'll take Jim's call and we'll take your calls at 651-989-9226 about vetting of coaches, a vetting of team doctors. What are we doing an okay job? Do we need to do better after the break here on CCO? Jordana here. We're talking about vetting of coaches. There's just been a string in the news about coaches accused of horrible behavior. Benilde St. Margaret's tennis coach fired. Charged with felony sex crimes. A swim coach, this was back in the 80s, sexually assaulted a girl in Burnsville. She's recently come, she's come out and told her story now. Duluth teacher charged with having sex with a 15-year-old. And these are just the ones in the news. So it occurred to me, okay, what is the vetting? And are we doing enough? And there's a texter here who really makes a great point. Jor, in this discussion, please remember the vast majority of coaches are caring individuals who do not do these horrible crimes. And you know what? You are so right. I have been at my kids' practices where I've heard the coach say, you know, remember to thank your parents for driving you here and taking time out of their day. And the vast majority of coaches are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They are guiding our children. They are helping our children. And they're doing a great job. So thank you to all the amazing coaches, certainly for my kids, hopefully for yours. But then we have the other side that we want to protect against. Jim, you've been so kind to wait on the line for us in Lakeville. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
You want to chime in?
Sure. I just think that there's a few major things that everybody has to realize in this whole area. And number one is just the probability of this happening just due to the simple growth of huge growth sports, for both guys and girls and boys throughout all the school. Just the probability of it is an issue. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it's not just in the school districts, you know, the gymnastics and the Olympics and that, you know, a lot of the schools, it's not the full-time teachers that are coaching. It's basically people they've subcontracted to hire. Mm-hmm. So they're not even a full-time staff. You know, doing a background check, like the person said on the other phone call, is definitely a consideration, but it's a huge cost. And so it's just the pure numbers of people. And parents always want their kids to get the best coach. And the coach can always say the right things to the parents. They can they can say the right thing, but you never know. There was one experience we had in something one of my sons was involved with where they it was a coach that had a studio, and later on, they found out that he had a severe problem with gambling. Mm. And finally, the financially, the studio went under. So there's all kinds of things that you can't find out. I think the main thing I'm trying to say in a thumbnail sketch is education, not only starting with the school districts, but also when you subcontract private teachers and private lessons and studios, there need to be at a level of state standard to cover not only the schools, but all the private subcontractors that come into the schools or have their own private studios.
Jim, I'm glad I got you in. Thanks for the call. He makes a good point. And you know what I'm hearing also when I listen to Jim and Matt, I'm going to take your call in a minute. These are conversations I need to be having with my kids and you need to be having with your kids, because it's hard to put it all on the schools. You got to do the right background checks. You got to spend the money. That's hard. Hey, God forbid, you know, I got to tell my kid, if something doesn't feel right, if something doesn't smell right, if somebody's acting inappropriately, if you witness a coach or any person acting inappropriately with somebody else, you need to say it out loud. That's why I don't want to be so disgusted. I'm disgusted by the news reports, but I'm encouraged that we're hearing more about it, because if it's out there, it needs to be exposed and we need to be talking about it. Matt's in his car. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good to hear your voice. I'm on Moritz School Board down here for a school board meeting, and I just wanted to weigh in. We do our best to obviously vet the professionals, and then as well as the folks that are coaching on a part-time basis. But we also talk about is to ask all of the parents and all of the participants to be aware of any inappropriate touching or close behavior or something like that. But then also I've been a 30-year pastor, and we ask our families to simply talk at the end of the day, and one of the most important things I think is to say something like, what were your high and lows, or what made you, maybe right before bedtime, what made you smile today? What made you sad? And generally, there are some kinds of hints that go on with those conversations. So I think communication is extremely important.
You know what? Great advice, Matt. I'm so glad you were listening and that you called in, because it's always a great reminder. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
He's right. He's right. And sometimes it can't be up to the school or the town. We have to talk to our kids. We have to feel it out. We have to maybe show up at practice. I don't want you to helicopter parent, but sometimes it's important. This coach texted in. He says, I coach 3 varsity sports. I invite parents to come to practice. Their kids straighten up real quick if they attend. Not too many parents take the time to come, but we need to keep telling the kids to come forward to another trusted person if they feel like something out of the normal is happening. That's right. Coach, good job. Wow, you're coaching 3 varsity sports. You are busy. And thank you for doing that, by the way. A lot of these coaches are volunteer positions, so we are really grateful for that. Takes a village, my friends, right? The school board, the Minnesota State High School League, they require background checks on all coaches and volunteers. That's from another texter. Good. I'm glad. Let's keep it up and let's keep talking. It's also 4:31. Speaking of kids, let's talk about other people's kids. Do you know there are almost 1,300 undocumented children that are in federal detention? Yes, they're kids that have come in on their own. They're kids whose parents might have been deported. But you know what's happening now? No one's coming to get these kids because their stewards in this country may be illegal, and they're afraid that they'll all get deported if they pick them up. Yes, I know it's a problem. What I want to know from you is, what should we do with the kids? Think big, think deeply, and give me some solutions after the news here on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Welcome back. Let's keep talking about kids. We were talking about our kids with the coaches and keeping them safe. But now we're going to talk about other people's kids, and maybe they're not so safe. These are parents who have sent their children across the border or come across the border with them and then have been separated from them, then maybe have been deported, and their children remain in federal custody here in the United States. In fact, there are almost 12,800 this month. That's according to data that was provided to Congress, and then it was in the New York Times on Wednesday. That number of kids is currently in federal custody, all right? Yes, some of them are because of the families that were separated, but it could just be from kids that have come alone. And the reason that there's so many that are still there is, one person's reason is, they don't want to go. Nobody wants to go and claim them because the person claiming them may be illegal and risks fear of deportation, or risks deportation. That fear is absolutely real. The shelter, by the way, where they're staying, it's really a tent city now in Tornillo, Texas, is supposed to accommodate about 3,800 children. And now they're in an overflow tent-like facility. We're not having a discussion about the zero tolerance policy. We're having a discussion now about, what do we do with 13,000 kids who are here? They're in our country. What should we do with them? How can we, I guess, act in the well-being of the children? Because here they are, and we probably don't know where their parents are. 651-989-9226 is my number. 651-989-9226. My text line is 81807. I see this from both sides. You have a real opportunity here to build loyal citizenry if you start educating these kids and providing them a path to citizenship. They will become loyal Americans, tax-paying Americans. But then again, who's going to pay for all that? Who's going to pay for their education? Who's going to pay for their housing? I mean, they're being housed right now, but we're over capacity. They're living in a tent city. What do we do? I'm open to your suggestions. Pat is in Hastings. Pat, glad you called in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I have an idea that I think would work. I think they should give any parent that has children here that are undocumented, they should give them a 10-year green card and let them stay here and let them work and take care of their own kids. and they can do the same thing with the ones that are in the facilities. If their parents want to come here, do the same thing. That way they can take care of their own kids and get them out of those tents.
So give the person who's supposed to come claim them a 10-year green card so they can accept the children and work here for at least 10 years?
And work here, yeah. Well, and give them a green card so they can work here and work on their citizenship.
Excellent.
Because they say it takes 10 years to get their citizenship, so why not give them a green card so they have time to work on it?
It does take a long time. And you know what, Pat? I love how you're kind of thinking out of the box and giving people an opportunity and changing up the system. I really appreciate the call, Pat.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think, you know, I know people say, send them back. We don't want them. Not our problem. We got to take care of our own kids. But you know what? These are kids and they're all our kids. So we need to find a compassionate solution. And maybe it is reunite them with their parents if their parents have a better living situation now from whatever country that they came from. Maybe that is the right way to do it. But if these kids were brought in by smugglers, if these kids are being trafficked, if these kids' parents are deported or were sick or whatever happened to their parents, here they are. So the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? Some of your texts say, don't forget about the smugglers. Yes, I hear you. Some of these kids maybe didn't ask to be here. They were mules or whatever. I understand. Hey, Jor, if we can't find out who these children belong to, we should send them back to their country of origin. But then what do you do? If you don't know where their parents are, what, do you just leave them at the airport? I mean, I guess maybe that's what their parents did when they left them at our border. But come on, we don't want to be those people. I don't know. There needs to be some safeguard when we do bring them back. They need to go to whatever kind of child protection that country has. So we're not putting kids in harm's way willfully. Jora, I think they should put all the children up for adoption. Any parent that would drag their child through the desert to get into our country has got problems to begin with. And why would we want them in this country if they can't take care of their own children? So they're saying put the children up for adoption. You know what? I don't think that's a crazy idea. Right? There are lots of people in this country who would take those children in. I applied for some of those migrant children that were separated from their parents. I went and applied. I would house any of those kids. Bring them to my house. I will take them in. Absolutely. Either so much as they can be reunited with their parents or whatever family they have here. I would have done that. And you know what? I am not the only one. There are a lot of people that I think would be willing to help out. I really do. Let's see. This texter writes, send them all back. I have to have papers to stay here. Okay, so there's some compassion there. Some texter writes, I like the adoption idea also. We'll even know if it's their real parents getting of these kids. That's the thing. We don't know where they're going to. If they're alone, and they've been alone for months now, I don't know. How do we track down their real parents or their real relatives? Mike's in Minneapolis. Mike, some thoughts on this. I'm looking for solutions.
Hi. You know, I don't know if I have a solution, but, you know, it made me think of what a horrible decision some parents may be facing. I'm just thinking one scenario is that they brought their kids here because if they stayed where they were, the crime and everything, they may have been killed, you know. So now if they go to claim the child, they're going to get deported as well as their children, and then one or all of them may be killed by these gangs and whatever in Mexico or wherever, you know. So it's a, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking that would be a horrible scenario.
Absolutely. And you know, we need to have empathy for that too. It's not just, you know, bad people who are coming to bring their kids. Sometimes they're coming to save their kids, and they know they might never see them again.
Yeah, and you know, to sacrifice that so that the child would be safe, you know. And, you know, heck, instead of making Mexico pay for a wall, make them pay to house the kids. Maybe then they'd clean up the horrific things that drove them here.
Mm. Mike, I'm open to solution. I like it, Mike. Right. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. You know what it reminds me of? And you probably already know the story of the Kinder train. It was called the Kinder Transport. It's German for children's transport, Kinder transport. It was an organized effort to rescue during a 9-month period prior to World War II and the Holocaust, the UK took nearly 10,000 predominantly Jewish children from Germany, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Poland. My family's from Czechoslovakia. They fled there. And the children were placed, they were put on a train. They were taken from their families. Their parents gave them up. They gave them up. They said, we might die, so take our children. The children were placed in British foster homes, hostels, schools, farms, wherever they could place them. And often those kids were their only family, the only part of that family that survived the Holocaust. And their families were wiped out. But these kids, the UK took them. And sometimes you have to make horrible choices. And I certainly don't fault those people who put their kids on the Kinder transport. They saved some of those kids' lives. And it's naive to think that situations are still in the world today that are often not that dire. Not that dire. Hey, Jor, why are you wasting time discussing this? The texter writes, Trump isn't going to take your suggestions. That's fine, but you know what? If we keep talking about it, maybe someone much smarter than me listening in the audience will think of a solution. We'll run for office. We'll create a bill. We should have these discussions just because they make us think. It's also 4:49. That means I need to shut my mouth and stop having the discussion. That's a Wicks and Jewelers time check, offering an unwavering commitment to the exceptional. The expert team at Wicks and Jewelers will ensure your visit is nothing less than unforgettable. He's over at TV. Is that where you are? Are you at TV?
No, I'm going to an event with Tony Dungy here over at the University of Minnesota. Might I report that it will take you about a half hour to get out of downtown Minneapolis before you begin your commute. And it's great. So I don't know who does it, but there's a lot more orange than anything else in this town, and no one seems to have a clue as to how to design something that would flow with traffic. So just so you know.
This has been the Traffic Report with Mike Max.
You got that.
I know you get so frustrated, buddy. I'm sorry. Yeah. But at least you can talk to me, and I know you've been listening to my show.
I'm giving you a warning as to what you're in for when you get off the air.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. No line on the Vikings game, but I favor them to win.
I thought you might. They get Green Bay. I was out there today. And of course, everybody's wondering if Aaron Rodgers will play or not, and that is the big, $1 million question. If he doesn't play, it's a whole different game. The Vikings should win easily if he does play.
Yeah.
I still like the Vikings. Green Bay is an okay team. They've got some weaknesses. Rodgers pulled one out against Chicago the other day, but I don't think they're in the Vikings class defensively, and I still like the Vikings. And visiting with them today, there's a confidence about this defense. As long as it's healthy, I think they're better than Green Bay.
I love that. That's exciting. Well, I hope the rest of the show can be interesting because it looks like you're going to be in your car for a long time.
I'm getting there.
Mike Max, you're the best. Maybe you turn on some soothing breathing music and relax, my friend.
No, I'm going to listen to Jor.
It's Mike Max. I'll be back after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.